From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama is now in Japan, continuing his Asian economic tour. The president beginning his day where it is already Saturday with a speech to a group of chief executives. Mr. Obama appealing to Asian leaders for greater access to fast-growing markets and cooperation.
When it comes to this growing, sprawling region of the world, the United States is here to stay. We are invested in your success because it's connected to our own. We have a stake in your future because our destiny is shared.
Stressing his goal of doubling U.S. exports over the next 5 years, the president said healthy competition does not need to cause problems with relationships between nations. The president's remarks come on the heels of a divisive G20 summit in Korea, where he failed to win the backing for a tough policy on China over its currency. Mr. Obama also failed to reach a trade agreement with Korea. Senate Democrats appear ready to change one of the more controversial parts of the new health law. As NPR's Julie Rovner reports, it's a tax record-keeping requirement for small businesses.
The requirement for small businesses to start sending other businesses 1099 forms, not just for services purchased, but also for products, was intended to boost tax compliance and thus help pay for the health law. But businesses were furious about all the new paperwork that would be involved. Democrats tried to scale back the requirement just before the election, but Republicans, sensing a potent campaign issue, blocked that effort. Now Democrats appear to be throwing in the towel. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus, who added the new 1099 requirement to the law in the first place, says he'll introduce a bill to repeal it. Baucus hasn't said where he will find the funds to make up the shortfall, but the measure could be taken up during the lame duck session that starts next week. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
Consumer sentiment rose more than expected this month, but as Daniel Carson reports, some analysts say even though people seem more upbeat, many are still unconvinced the economy is recovering.
Even though the recession was declared officially over 17 months ago, Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial, says the recovery has been uneven. She describes two Americas, those who lost ground during the recession and those who have recouped their losses.
We're still at levels of consumer confidence that are more consistent with a recession than a recovery. Most Americans still believe we're in a recession. So although conditions are not falling off a cliff, they're not firming anytime rapidly either.
Growing confidence raises the odds that retailers will see sales climb during the holiday season. Still, analysts don't expect most shoppers to go on spending sprees. Swonk expects general merchandise sales will climb, but, quote, it's nothing to write home about. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
Stocks ended the week on a down note. Concerns China could raise interest rates to slow its surging economy, worrying U.S. investors. Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 90 points to close at 11,192 for the week. Blue chips lost 2.2%. The Nasdaq fell 37 points. This is NPR. European airplane builder Airbus, which experienced a catastrophic failure of one of the engines on its A380 jumbo jets, now says it has identified a faulty bearing box as the cause of an oil leak that's being blamed for a mid-air engine explosion. Speaking in Sydney today, the company's chief operating officer told reporters that Rolls-Royce, the engine's manufacturer, at some point fixed the bearing box on newer versions of the plane's engine. Despite the incident with Qantas jet last week, the aircraft was able to return safely to Singapore on its remaining engine. Qantas and Singapore Airlines, which also flies the double-decker jet, grounded their fleet of A380s to inspect the plane's engines. Federal judges sentenced a Tennessee representative's son for hacking former presidential candidate Sarah Palin's email during the 2008 presidential campaign. From member station WKNO in Memphis, Candace Ludlow reports the sentence is less harsh than prosecutors had wanted.
U.S. District Judge Thomas Phillips ordered David Cornell to 1 year in a Knoxville, Tennessee halfway house for snooping through Palin's Yahoo account and bragging about it online. Cornell was a student at University of Tennessee, Knoxville in 2008. The judge said Cornell's sentence is not lenient, calling it a sufficient restriction on the defendant's liberty. Cornell was convicted on charges of unauthorized access to a protected computer and destroying records to impede a federal investigation. Cornell's father is Democratic State Representative Mike Cornell. For NPR News, I'm Candace Ludlow in Memphis.
U.S. Postal Service says even with the elimination of 100,000 jobs and other reductions, it still posted losses of $8.5 billion for the just-completed fiscal year. Much of the drop apparently a result of increased competition from the Internet and an economic downturn that's cut advertising and other business mail. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.